When he was around 10 years old, Faith native Scott Pett saw the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds at Ellsworth Air Force Base. He remembers watching the pride, precision, and professionalism of the air show and made it his goal to be a part of the demonstration squadron. Earlier this month, 25 years later, Major Scott Pett was back at Ellsworth as a member of the Thunderbirds. He flies the No. 8 jet as the advanced pilot narrator for the squadron. Major Pett enlisted in the Air National Guard and served as a crew chief before earning a commission through the Academy of Military Science in 2002, the same year he graduated from Black Hill State University. He's logged more than 1,800 flight hours as an Air Force pilot with more than 208 combat hours in the F-16. He joins us on the line, and Major Pett, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Yes, sir. It's great to be on. Thanks for having me.
Well, take us back to when you were around 10 years old and witnessed the Thunderbirds at Ellsworth. What was it about that air show of seeing the Thunderbirds that captured your imagination?
Well, you see a lot more than just the jets flying. And even at that young age, I saw personnel working around the jets and on the jets, and they were very sharp-looking individuals, and They took a lot of pride in what they were doing, and for that to have a lasting memory on a 10-year-old kid, it obviously made me want to continue to grow and do more and eventually have that same impression on other kids. And that's one of the greatest parts about this job. So obviously, aviation enthusiasts would say that flying the jet is the greatest thing in the world, and it is, but there's a lot more to what our mission is. And when we get on the road and we get to go to school visits and be part of Make-A-Wish or a Wounded Veterans Program, that has a much deeper impact than what people realize. So.
When did you join the Thunderbirds? When did you become a part of the squadron?
Well, my road was a little dynamic in the fact that I got selected to fly the number 3 jet, and then ugly sequestration reared its head, so they dehired everybody and stood the team down for a year. And then even though the jets weren't flying for that year, the team still went out and had a positive impact on the public to have a valid mission going on. So they made it through that year, and then I reapplied and got selected a second time. So it's been a long road, and I started with the team in October.
So what did it take for you to get to this point? You know, take us from graduating from Black Hill State to how you got to this position right now.
Well, it actually started before Black Hill State. When I was 18, my brother, they were a year older than me, they were going to sign up with South Dakota Air National Guard. I went with them to see what that was all about, and I noticed that, hey, that's a group of people that has a really cool mission, and they have F-16s out there in Sioux Falls. And so I started, I signed up as a mechanic with them, and while I was going to college at Black Hill State, they were paying for my college and allowed me to be part of a mission that went around the country and around the world, and I got to be part of some pretty cool assignments for 2 weeks to a month at a time, and all while getting my degree. And then as far as working with South Dakota Air National Guard, if you want to be a pilot, they have an opportunity to apply for a pilot training spot. And they take one or two pilots a year. And so I got my flying certificate out of Sturgis and Spearfish, South Dakota, and eventually qualified to put in a package with the South Dakota Air National Guard as a pilot now. So.
Now, what did it mean for you to be back in South Dakota the other weekend and to be at Ellsworth as a part of the Thunderbirds Air Show?
No, it meant a lot. I mean, even before that, you know, one thing about being the Thunderbird is you don't just deal with the air shows that are in Chicago and the ones that are in New York. And we go small town America to large city America. And when you get to a place, a state small and quaint like South Dakota, everybody gets on board. And, you know, so there was the media coverage that started 2 months out when the news station started coming down, not just to cover me being a local boy from South Dakota, but the other two individuals, one from Sioux Falls and the other one from Myrtle, that are part of the team. So the state of South Dakota took on an appreciation for the Thunderbirds that I, and since I've been on the team almost a year now, have not seen any other state do, not in that level. So that's what made it a lot of fun. It was so personal.
Now, as I mentioned, you fly the number 8 jet as the advanced pilot narrator for the squadron. What does that mean?
Well, I go out and set up all the shows. So once the International Conference of Air Shows says where we're going that year, I start working directly with all the air show sites, because if you've ever done an air show before, they don't just start the month before the air show is supposed to happen. They start a year out in advance and submitting all the paperwork, and then they find out they're getting a major jet team like the Thunderbirds. Then there's a ton of work that goes involved and gets involved with that. So I'm part of all that logistics, coordination, and planning. And then once the air show is coming up, I will leave a day before everybody with my jet and my crew chief, and we will go out there and we'll set everything up, make sure everything's ready to go, because when we come, we have a very large footprint. We have a C-17, 8 F-16s, and roughly 65 people. So there's a lot that goes on behind the scene, and that includes a lot of our support equipment, because it takes a lot for a place like Midland, Texas, where we're going this week, to acquire all the equipment that we require. So they've been working pretty hard for the last 8 months. And Ellsworth is very fortunate because they're a military base and they have some of that equipment. And what they don't have, they can get from the F-16 unit over in Sioux Falls. So, and then as far as the flying goes, my main flying job is to do the celebrity media flights. So that's, as you can imagine, I get a chance to give people a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, an experience. So I get to fly them around and take them through what all the solo pilots will do and the formations will do.
Now, for the shows themselves, I'm curious as to how much practice and hard work and rehearsal goes to putting on the air shows with the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, safety is always our number one concern, and we've been around since 1953. So we're required by DOD, to Department of Defense, and our regulations to do 4 practice shows a week, and that doesn't include the actual shows that are going to happen on Saturday and Sunday. So our training season, just to put it in perspective, we will end our show this year in Georgia on a Sunday. We'll come home Monday, and then Tuesday we will start our training for the next season. And we will be in training season. We will be flying 2-3 times a day, 5 days a week, until we start our first show, which is going to be in March. So with the exception of having a Christmas break, it's intense training, and it never stops.
So for the pilots, you watch them in the air with these tight choreographed formations. What does it take to pull that off? And to, as you mentioned, safety is so important, and to be safe.
Well, discipline and trust is some of the biggest ones, because everybody says, how close do you fly? And there's times we're flying between 18 and 24 inches apart, and we're going 500 miles an hour, and we're doing loops and rolls and pulls, and a lot of people think it's optics, and it's not. It's as close and tight as what you're seeing. And I always say, hey, if you're driving down the interstate and you get within 18 inches of another car, you start getting pretty nervous. And the reason you get nervous is because you haven't choreographed, rehearsed, and you don't trust that person. So the other big factor is trust. You got to know exactly what each person's going to do.
So as a part of that team, these are men, people that are working together, and you achieve a certain esprit de corps, that there is that trust, that you really know that these are guys who are the best pilots in the world, and they know what they're doing?
Well, something unique, and I don't pull any punches with who we are. We represent the guys that are out there, that we all come from at least a fighter background. So one of the requirements is to have $750 in the actual flying fast aircraft, whether it be F-16, F-15. When we hire Thunderbirds, and this year I had a chance to be part of the hiring process where we're hiring other people, just flying the jets with the syllabus program that we have and leading into show season, you can get most qualified pilots to that level. What you have to do, though, is you have to select people that are going to interact with the public the way you need to, because like I said at the beginning of the interview, it's a lot more than just flying the jets. It's nonstop interaction with young kids and elderlies and generals of all different ranks from all different services. So there's a ton that goes into it behind just being able to fly the aircraft. But yeah, it's a structured syllabus, and we can get most pilots to where they need to get.
Is the show essentially the same every weekend, every show, every air show, or do you have to adapt in some ways to the different spaces and the airfields that you're dealing with?
Yeah, that's something that I'm glad you asked that question, because that's something people don't realize. Is you take a show site like Jones Beach, which is over the ocean, so your markers, you don't have a show line, a specific runway that you're going to be able to line up on. We have something, we just have 2 markers out there. compare it to a show like the Air Force Academy, where you have a density altitude, which has a huge factor on the power of the jets, the speed, and how we perform the maneuvers. So that's all something that is dependent on show site and how we have to adapt. The other thing is weather. Weather always can rear its ugly head. So we have three different shows. We have a high show, a flat show, a low show, and a flat show. And all that depends on how much clouds we have. The last thing we want to do is ever go into the clouds.
So do you rehearse all three shows then?
You bet. And not only that, and that's why, you know, we train, you know, for the perfect scenario, but then we train over and over and over again for contingency operations. And when I say contingency operations, what happens when the weather deteriorates and we have a jet that has a mechanical issue, so he's got to land. Now, instead of six aircraft, you have five aircraft flying. So we're training nonstop for the different scenarios that we potentially could be dealt. And to me, it's, that's what makes great pilots is not what you do when everything is going perfect, but when things start falling apart, the decisions you make and how your ability to adapt takes place.
So what is the goal or the role of the Thunderbirds, the purpose of the demonstration squadron? Is it just to deal with the public, or is it, like going back to when you were a 10-year-old to perhaps inspire future pilots?
You know, the American public puts a lot of money into us having the demonstration teams, whether it be the Blue Angels and the Thunderbirds, and they need to get something from that. So what we do is we recruit, we retain, and we represent, not just for the Air Force, but the Air National Guard and Air Force Reserves. Now, that being said, you know, big picture, you look at, we have an all-voluntary military. You know, only 1% of the people raise their hand to serve in that military that's going out there and serving abroad. So it's important that we go out there and we represent and we let that other 99% know what exactly those guys are doing and how they're doing it. And hopefully continue to build positive morale for the troops that are serving abroad. So, and you take and break that down, you know, recruit. We're always trying to go out there and show that there's opportunities to sign up for the military, raise your right hand, and it's not just the active duty Air Force. It's also the South Dakota Air National Guard or the Air Force Reserves. And then represent, like I said, we're pride and professionalism is always on display when we go anywhere. So that's us representing those 40,000 airmen that are serving abroad. And the other thing is retain. You know, you go to a base where people, the operations tempo, people have been deployed a lot, and we can go out there and hopefully raise morale a little bit by putting on the performances and having their families come out and see exactly what's going on.
So how long will you be a member of the Thunderbird Squadron?
Only 2 years. That's all. There's 12 officers on the team. 8 of us are pilots, and all 12 officers will only do 2-year shifts. And that's just because we go on every single trip. So we're gone an incredible amount. I think I'm gone about 280 days a year. And then once show season starts in March, I'm only home 36 hours a week. So.
Well, Major Petz, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.